No 4-day weekend for investors. In New York, I'm Andy Euler in for David Brancaccio. Tomorrow, we'll find out how many jobs the U.S. added in June. Economists are expecting the country added roughly 165,000 more last month. It would be a rebound from May's crop of only 75,000, but as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, the trade war could still show up in the June numbers.
May's report was weak, but trade tensions really started picking up after the May report.
That could have influenced companies' decisions to hire or fill vacancies that maybe were in the works over the month.
That's Sarah House, an economist at Wells Fargo Securities. If that happens, House says you'd see hiring slow down in industries that export a lot of goods.
Is manufacturing and transportation weakening more so than maybe some domestic-facing industries like education, construction, or government?
Manufacturing has already been slowing down. Frances Donald is chief economist at Manulife Investment Management. She says she hopes companies are just pausing on hiring decisions while they wait for new trade deals to be sorted out. But
one thing we remain wary about is the possibility that actually companies say we need to cut jobs in this uncertainty, not just stall hiring.
If companies start cutting jobs, Donald says consumer spending would take a huge hit, and so would the rest of the economy. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Amazon turns 25 tomorrow. E-commerce giants like Amazon are a big source of tension between the U.S. and India. Trade between the two countries is growing, but so have reciprocal tariffs. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, has more from New Delhi.
In a warehouse in the Indian capital,
we are standing in a room with just lots of boxes, but I can smell some tea. Lovely things, cinnamon, some spices, some orange.
Yeah.
All ingredients being added to a luxury brand of tea. Balasarda is CEO of Vadam Teas. He says while India is the world's second largest tea producer after China, most of it is sold under foreign brand names.
So that's what we wanted to change, right? We wanted to build a brand which sources direct from farmers, packages in India, retains value at source, and take it to the world.
Vadam's tea collections sell globally via platforms like Amazon. Its biggest market is the US, where the brand recently got endorsed by Oprah Winfrey.
Her endorsement opened a lot of doors for us, convincing consumers.
This year, Indian exports via Amazon hit the $1 billion mark, and the Indian government projects that e-commerce will grow to be worth $200 billion by 2026. But India wants that growth to benefit its own companies and citizens. New Delhi's draft e-commerce policy is designed to let in foreign platforms without hurting Indian sellers. Richard Rosso is senior advisor in U.S.-India policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Now with e-commerce, you finally see that India, instead of incrementally opening different pieces, they're starting to take a step back. You've got a lot of small traders and retailers. That's one group and constituency, certainly, that the BJP, the party of India's current Prime Minister Narendra Modi, has catered to.
Back at Vadam, in an area where tea is being vacuum-packed, I get a sip of the brand's turmeric tea. For CEO Balasarda, the U.S. might be his biggest, most important market, but he doesn't believe giving American retailers equal access to Indian consumers is the right policy.
I think it's still more fairer than what a China is. India, the market it is, I think it's also important to have a balance between promoting our local businesses and also letting conglomerates like Amazon and a Walmart come in. And I think India is doing that.
So as the U.S. tries to knock down global trade barriers, it will continue to face opposition from countries like India. In New Delhi, I'm the BBC's Anu Anand for Marketplace.
A Harvard Business School study found that about a quarter of all new businesses in the U.S. are started by immigrants. But starting a business is risky. As part of the statewide California Dream Project, David Wagner with KPCC went to L.A.'s Thai community to get a sense of entrepreneurship there.
Ira Rinsrirada sets up her booth at the East Hollywood Farmers Market. She tapes up a sign with the name she chose to describe her food, Sozap.
Thailand. It's like a stab. It's, I mean, delicious, so delicious.
Her dad helps out, grinding fresh ingredients for a spicy and sweet papaya salad.
I'm trying to bring in Thai food that's authentic from my dad, my mom, from the beginnings of my family, making it that real way.
L.A. has the largest Thai population in the U.S., so she's betting a lot of people here crave the real thing. Soon she'll move into a new food hall called the Thai Town Marketplace. Back in Thailand, she had a successful career in the makeup industry. Her original plan, breaking into Hollywood as a makeup artist for film and TV, didn't work out. So Zap is her plan B, but she says it beats working for someone else.
Being a business owner is better.
Harvard Business School professor Bill Kerr says that's a pretty common story for immigrants who become their own boss. Many struggle to transfer their degrees or skills into a new country.
They may find starting their own company to be the most attractive option.
Chancey Martorell is with LA's Thai Community Development Center, the nonprofit building this new $5 million food hall.
So SAP will have that stall.
Low-income immigrant entrepreneurs will be offered rent at about 30% below market for each stall. Martorell wants to preserve the cultural identity of this neighborhood.
Otherwise, you end up just seeing a community of chain stores that have no history in the community.
Back at the farmer's market, Ira Rin Srirada has big plans for SoZap. After testing out her business in the food hall, where rents are low, she wants to move into her own space.
We should open up more locations. Here, we should have some savings.
She says from this starting point, she can keep building her business. In Los Angeles, I'm David Wagner for Marketplace.
And I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.